Okay, and we are live on Leadership Redefined. We have a busy day at Leadership Redefined. This is, I think, our third podcast of the day, but we saved the best for last, Gretchen, right? This is, here we go. I probably offended the first two, but it's okay. So we have, as we know, with Leadership Redefined, welcome everybody to Leadership Redefined. Welcome, Anthony. Welcome, Rich, and welcome, Gretchen.
Thank
We
you.
have a guest that's from out here in Colorado with me, where I am. A different guest than we would normally have on here because it's in a different space. I don't think we've had people from the cybersecurity space before. Gretchen is here. I'll let her introduce herself in just a minute, but she's got some really wonderful ideas around cybersecurity, leadership in general, and sort of that crossover between we are in K-12 higher ed and some corporate, and Gretchen has some really good life experience. She's not only in academia, you have some other experience as well. I'll let you speak to that. Welcome, Gretchen. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Al. I appreciate it.
Great. So if you could just do a brief intro for the audience, and then we'll get into talking about your leadership style and some of the things that you really drive you, that motivate you in this space.
Well, thank you. Yes, I started as a Russian linguist out of college. I was a language junkie my whole life. Then I spent 25 years working for the military and the intelligence community, which is where I encountered cybersecurity in the early 1990s. And then I moved through that, changing jobs, leadership opportunities, right? You were talking about that. So I didn't stay in the same job for 25 years. I probably was in a different job every 3 years, which was really fun to explore and get that leadership ability of learning how to lead in different situations with different groups. And then when I left the government service, I came into the education sector. And it was a bit of a fluke. It was a chance meeting with the president of our local Pikes Peak Community College. But when we got talking, we figured out that there's some really big things that need to happen in regards to cybersecurity and education, not least of which is all the stuff you guys have been involved with in K-12, right? It starts down there and it's got to move through. You can't start at the top and work down. You've got to do it as a whole community and ecosystem effort. And so I worked there for 5 years putting their program together and was fortunate enough to be invited to come to UCCS, University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, and run their program. I'm the director of cybersecurity programs there. And we're very excited. We have a state legislative bill that's giving us money each year to do some really neat and innovative things and in building partnerships across the community and the ecosystem. So thank you for allowing me to be here today.
So Gretchen, if you could just set up for us cybersecurity, why obviously I've been in the space for a couple of years now. Cybersecurity and education overall, you mentioned K-12. Why is it such sort of a hot area or hot topic of discussion, of focus for those people out there that don't really know? They hear it in the news, right? We were talking about SolarWinds and different cyber attacks that have happened and escalated now exponentially since COVID has started. Why cybersecurity? Just sort of set it up for the folks that don't know why the focus and why this is such a really big and important trend that we're headed towards or involved with at this stage in education.
You're right, Al. A lot of people see that word and go, oh no, you know, they get really scared or get overwhelmed or get really concerned because, you know, you can look up the definition of cybersecurity with any government agency and you can come up with 70 different definitions from 70 different organizations, right? So it's one of those things that's still evolving. And because it's evolving, it makes it a challenge, right? We want to get ahead of it. We want to have that interaction and we want to educate people. One of the biggest things that is my soapbox is that cybersecurity isn't just for the tech guys. Everybody has a role in cybersecurity, and we really have to make sure that we are thinking ahead. We're thinking to those jobs that don't exist, right? To the problems that haven't happened yet. And if we don't do that, then we're not really doing what we're supposed to do in education. We've got to build the tools and the capabilities, not just have specific objectives that we're going to meet. And yes, the state and K-12 gives you core curricular objectives, right? And you get stuck in that. But to me, cybersecurity is something that everybody thinks about. If you have one of these, you're involved in cybersecurity. If you have a doorbell that has a video camera, you are involved in cybersecurity. If you go online to make your medical appointments to go see your doctor, you're involved in cybersecurity. So it's something that a lot of people think it's over there when really it's right here. And so that's one thing that really connected with me, because when we first started looking at cybersecurity in the 1990s, it was very much a government entity kind of policy level kind of discussion. But now it's down to the individual interaction. And that's something that makes it more exciting, more challenging, right? And more important.
So all of us here have had the experience of building program in K-12 and higher ed. And Rich and Anthony, please chime in as well. How do you lead a program? And you alluded to this a little bit, but if you could elaborate, how do you lead a program that literally, and if you don't know this about cybersecurity, it could change within a semester, like what you need to focus on. It's changing that fast, the industry, as far as what's available job-wise, what careers, what you need to focus on, what you need to include in a program. So how do you do that? Is it your background that's helped you do that? Or is it like, is it your leadership style overall, your personality? Like, how do you do that?
I think, Al, it's a little bit of all that, right? I got in on the early and often of this. I've seen ways that it's not done well just because you don't know. It's not that you're intentionally not doing a good job. It's just you just don't know enough to do a good job. And you've got to really stay ahead of that. And so that was one of those things of, that's where I started, is that I had all these opportunities. I had all of these things going on that started to build into my understanding of what cybersecurity is. And what became even more important is that you got to be flexible. And if there's one thing the intelligence community taught me is to be flexible. You know, you can change vectors. You can move to something else. You may combine some things that you didn't know you could combine. The sociology teacher can talk to the computer science teacher and come up with something really cool and work together. So that's one of the wonderful things I have found about cyber, is that it's multidimensional in this whole perspective, right? Is that there are so many things going on in cybersecurity that there's room for everybody to learn and explore and lead. One of the biggest things in the leadership lesson I've learned from cybersecurity is that you have to understand that those people that work for you that are more familiar with what's going on, it's going to happen, right? I mean, we're the people putting out the strategic archway of which we're going to walk through and learn and spread out under. But those young people who are just coming out into the community need to be respected, valued, and connected, because they are the ones that are going to solve those problems that you haven't yet thought of. The biggest thing for me is being flexible means building partnerships, because we were talking earlier, education does not turn on a dime. It's kind of like an aircraft carrier, right? You got to go through and get all the passages and the program coordination and all this other stuff. But there are ways right now by creating partnerships, by working with K-12, coming up with community and industry ways to engage students, to give them hands-on training with the real stuff that's happening right now. So you teach the theoretical part, you hand them over to industry or the community and have them actually start working with it. And I think that's where you keep your relevance. And you start getting on that edge of doing what's in the future, like making sure that you are reaching out into those unknown places instead of falling back on tradition and maybe methodologies that might not always be best. One of the neatest things I think going on in cybersecurity is the Department of Labor apprenticeship program. People think of, you know, electricians, plumbers, welders. No. Think cybersecurity, right? So it's a really big mind shift that has been a little bit challenging getting industry leadership to kind of buy into. But I think we are slowly getting there where industry is going, wait a minute, I've got to be a part of the solution. I can't just go to education and say, give me this, 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 and this, right? Because education only owns one or two of the things. Industry's got to create the rest with it. And that's where those partnerships are absolutely essential.
That's so well said. And I want to hear from Anthony and Rich. Rich, part of what we do, just so you know, we have something called this collective mindset, talking about the synergy of all of these components coming together. And it really applies to leadership and program development, and anything else you could think of. It was based in part on futuring, which Rich, you could speak to. Rich has a couple books, one with AI and futuring, right? Coming out too, right, Rich? AI, social media.
AI, that's coming. That's coming.
Oh, that's the next one. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Rich, you just comments for Gretchen, questions, and then Anthony, you as well, chime in.
Yeah, of which I know nothing, by the way, but as far as AI is concerned, but that's another conversation. But you know, the futuring word is actually part of our collective mindset. And it's a word, I didn't create the word. The word is part of our collective mindset, as I said before. It's about a set of dispositions, which you really enunciated beautifully, and a set of, I don't like this word, it's the first word I can think of, competencies, where folks need to truly anticipate, you know, I don't like this word either, the trends that may be out there and how they intersect with other things to create things we haven't even projected towards yet. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. That excites me with a capital E. I want to be in cybersecurity now, Al.
We'll get you in, Rich. Yeah, don't worry.
I have a grandson who's he's first year college, and he's bouncing from one major to the next already. Who was talking about getting it? I forget the word he used. White hat hacker.
Yeah.
White hat.
He was into that for about.
White hat hackers. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, now he's not into it anymore. But I said to myself, this is exactly the kind of things that a kid like him, should be paying attention to, because of the boundless opportunities to grow and to really contribute to things that we have not, I know I have not, been totally sensitive to at all. Wow, it's a wide open field. Usually I have all kinds of questions, Gretchen, but those are comments more than questions. So you can comment on something I said, that'd be great, but otherwise we'll pass it over to Anthony.
Well, and I do want to address when you talked about the futuring, right? I mean, that's something that people are really uncomfortable with, and this is where leadership comes in, right? It's not like I have the answers. It's I want to facilitate that vision and that exploration that you have, and I know teachers do that all the time. So to me, teachers are always leaders. But, in industry, it's kind of hard to get people to say, yes, just go out that direction over there and spend some time over there and figure it out. Whereas, a lot of times in industry, it's no, you've got to get to this wicket in this place with this amount of money and do that. And so it's really hard to change that mindset. And being able to lead in that environment, I think, is really challenging. So not only do we want to understand the technical future of what's happening, but how organizations and people are going to function, what is leadership now the same of what we're going to need 20 years from now? That could change hugely.
Ah, amen. You're going to be crazy. Amen. This sets of skills and competencies, strategies are probably the best word that, that I haven't created. I've caught them from a lot of research that they do not use in schools. They're not used in schools, not with any kind of, not across the board. And I'm not aware of it in colleges either, though I don't claim to have a monopoly on understanding all of what all colleges do as far as this is concerned. And it's concerning to me personally, because they shouldn't be the exclusive domain of people who are cybersecurity experts necessarily. They should be part of how we approach most anything. Even not to drift off too much, but when Biden was the last week said, what was the word he said? We're going to win the future, was the word I think he used. Yeah. We talked about the infrastructure needs for a $2 trillion expenditure over 8 years. That was futuring. Yeah, that was true kind of long-term think ahead anticipation, and what that suggests for what you're trying to do boggles me. It's interesting.
Awesome. Anthony, thoughts, question?
Well, you've helped to expand and broaden my very limited understanding of cybersecurity. So I guess those ideas that I wanted to pitch at Hollywood, like Law and Order cybersecurity or CSI cybersecurity, it's more into futuring, because the connotation to me has always been just the whole word security. It's always like protection against the threats, but it's in this realm, it's not just protection against the threats that are in existence. As you're saying, it's the protection against the threats that we don't know exist yet. And I mean, that's just such an exciting profession. I had begged my son. St. John's has a great cybersecurity program. Begged him to go into. He took a couple of classes. Wasn't for him. I'm sure he'll forever be regretting it. But that is just, that connotation, the whole futuring thing. Makes it exciting. And the question I really want to ask is more related to higher education, in the sense that what you're characterizing is so antithetical to how colleges and universities operate. It's almost like you got to force them into the 22nd century here because they're still in the 19th century with how they establish programs and how they're taught and, you know, this whole sense of certificate minded, program minded. That's so antithetical and so futuristic, to use that word. Do you find that difficult sometimes to convey that message to university administration and such?
Absolutely, Anthony. I mean, I think that's one of the key challenges is that it is a generational shift, right? And because yeah. The people who are running the organizations that are doing this don't have that reference and don't have that investment. However, that being said, I think that in the education system, there are those, the education system in my experience has been full of dreamers, people who right. want to make things better, want to make people more prepared. And so if there's ways to find the gray area, that's my Intel background coming back out, then we go through the, you know, we go into that gray area and find those partnerships that may be a little different than what they're used to. Maybe we show that and inspire it through the students. You know, we find other ways. You know, if the curriculum, it gets a little too set. I do have to give a call out to the NSA, though. The National Security Agency has an amazing program that's been in place since 1999. Yes, they saw the writing on the wall, which wow. usually doesn't happen for government agencies talking about future. And they have a Center of Academic Excellence certification that they give in cybersecurity to schools. And wow. it's a lot of work to get it because you've got to meet certain wickets. And it's not necessarily how they teach. And so these educational institutions and the CAE have been challenged with that, exactly what you're talking about, Anthony, bringing what NSA and the government and industry really wants into the classroom in a way that it meets the mail. It can meet the academic mail and it can meet the industry mail. And it's a very evolutionary process. In fact, it's still undergoing change as we go through it again. You have to re-up yourself every 5 years, so you have to keep yourself fresh. They don't want a redo of your application from 5 years ago. They want to see what you've done in addition, how you've expanded it, how you've gotten more teachers, how you've gotten more students through the programs. So as much as the system itself can be arcane and the processes, I think the motivation is always there to go into that new thing, find a new way to look at it, you know, find ways of connecting. The biggest thing I find in our university is we now went from having just engineering programs, like you had talked about. It's not a lane, it's a highway in my mind, because there are, you know, there's a cybersecurity lane in computer science, there's cybersecurity in business, there's cybersecurity in our letters, arts, and sciences through our data analytics program. We have it in our School of Public Affairs with law enforcement and all those other things. And it's not just the technical protection. It's the policies. It's the risk management. It's, you know, some threats you can defend against. Some you just got to mitigate the impact of what happens. And you've got to figure out how to make that math work and learn when you're doing which part of that. And I think by having diverse programs, I think that's how we get there, is that it's not all in one bag. You know, your eggs aren't all in one basket. Right. You've got them spread out across the industry. And so you can have those conversations and get into those gray areas by getting business to work with letters, arts, and sciences, or getting engineering to help out in a K-12 program, or creating those partnerships that really make this work.
See, I never thought of it that way. That's truly interdisciplinary.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
You know, I never thought of it that way. We always think of it as, you know, this myopic, you know, it's all about computers and technology. But my God, you're right. It's a whole broad spectrum of different thinking and different, you know, knowledge bases.
Yeah, cybersecurity
is chance of cross-pollination is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Cybersecurity is really unique, as Gretchen knows, in that for it to succeed, thrive, you need that cross-pollination. You need to have sociology, psychology, technical aspects, the history of how this, you know, manifests. All that stuff has to be there in a good quality cybersecurity program. And it's honestly a model for a lot of different programs because we have this siloed nature, right, in higher education. And to some degree, to a large degree in K-12 as well, by subjects and grades, and you have very, very much siloed in nature. So for you to sort of be successful in what you're doing, you almost have to do that, but trying to explain and actually manifest and have that come to fruition within the confines of a traditional system, that's where the challenges come in. And it sounds like you, and I know some of the stakeholders and Dr. TJ that you have involved, part of this is building the forward thinkers that you need to be involved, right? And working with a team that it has the capacity to future, the ability to stretch, all that stuff has that, right? That's part of this, yes?
Yes, absolutely. What's really amazing when you talk about it is it's that diversity of perspective. You can solve a problem and determine who's a threat, but if you're a music major, and I have a theater major that's gone into cyber, you have a different way you're going to approach figuring that out. And so the idea is to, as you mentioned, Anthony, is to detect where the threats are. Well, if you're all taught in the same lane on the highway, you're only going to see threats in that lane. Whereas I'm a linguist. So I look at language like math sometimes, and you have different approaches you take as you assemble what you're looking at. You know, music majors look at it as math. And so if you can put chords together, you're going to see those same types of chords when you're looking at problem sets. And so making sure that diversity is part of the core team is more and more the norm for the hiring that goes on. And I've talked with industry in depth about that. And they really are trying to look for those kind of unique characteristics of students, not just the ones coming out of the technical lane, although they need them. I mean, we can't survive without them. They can't be the only approach we take.
That's terrific. So
Gretchen, I want to be mindful of time, and we'd love to have you on again, Gretchen. I love this conversation. So I want to just give Anthony and Rich a quick opportunity, closing thoughts, and then Gretchen will give you the final word. We haven't talked about being a female in this industry and the power and value of that as well. So we could have another session just on that. Maybe we'll have a few of our past audience or participants to go in on a panel kind of discussion. I think would be great as well. Anthony, then Rich, and then Gretchen, will give you the last word.
Yeah, just a comment. I greatly appreciate this conversation. It's sometimes interesting to really talk about things that you really don't know, and I don't. But you know how you've described and how you've characterized it makes me want to be like 30 or 40 years younger.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're running out of my mouth.
Change my professional trajectory.
It's never too late, Anthony. So it's never too late.
I'm too old.
We're going to give you a shot.
I hope we get to see you again, because
yeah,
great discussion.
Rich?
Wow. Yeah, I'm vibrating. I'm just so interested in the things that you talked about and the possibilities that you raised. Like Anthony, I mean, I was thinking more along the solo winds kind of thing, quite frankly, than what you've opened up in terms of possibilities. Sometimes we make a joke among ourselves about Lloyd's of London back in the 1860s was a coffee bean house and morphed over to something I don't think they particularly strategized to become, among other things. So there wasn't some pretty negative things too that they were responsible for as well. But clearly they morphed from X to Y. And we often say to each other, what we've been working on under this umbrella of leadership redefined as a catalyst always suggests new trails to go down. And right now, I'm talking Eastern time, it's 7:04. I'm thinking, like Anthony is, wishing that I were a lot younger than I am now to have gone down this trail. And I hope you're right, that it's not too late to do that. But I'm excited by the level of thinking that you have and your ability to capture the processes that have to go into play to truly have an effective cybersecurity mindset that goes beyond phone hacks necessarily and so forth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And to add to that, just effectively run a program, to put together a team that has the right mindset to evolve in the way that this needs to evolve. So Gretchen, I'll give you the last word for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on here. We have to connect offline at some point for sure. But Gretchen, I'll give you the final thought.
Well, I just wanted to address your ideas about, is it too late? I just want to give you a little vignette. I used to host Cyber Capture the Flags, which are events where you go and you plug your computer in and you play with stuff. And we hosted these monthly for a very long time. And we started seeing teams of people from like government contractors, you know, folks in their later years of their profession wanting to get some cyber stink on them. And so they would start coming and they would, you know, hang out in the corner, the four of them from the office, and they would see the leaderboard for the competition. And one of the teams that was always up there was, you know, they have the craziest names, like, you know, Mr. Blue Hat or something. And they would say, hey, who's Mr. Blue Hat in this room? I need to know how to get past level three. And Mr. Blue Hat was an 18-year-old high school student.
I bet.
Run up there and go help these guys. And so the kid got great experience with leading and explaining and wow. teaching. And they got the experience of learning from an 18-year-old. And so it was so magical to watch that. I just want to let you know, that's what makes me say it's never too late, because there's always opportunities to build that ecosystem and learn new things.
Was that a simulation, Gretchen?
Yeah, it's a kind of a virtual box competition. We weren't doing any damage to any real systems.
So, Rich, we're not going to get you started on simulations, but we can talk offline. We got a little bit of a guru on simulations here as well. So, Gretchen.
Lloyd's of London.
Gretchen, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully we can connect with you soon. I really appreciate your time, your insight. Always a pleasure just talking to you in general. But thank you so much.